And let your birds
talk radio.
Amen. Good afternoon, church. Good afternoon, Miracle. And welcome to Miracle Outreach Church on Sunday. Amen. What beautiful words that Pastor Pat sang. He'll be what it takes to meet our needs. He promises to be what it takes to meet our needs. If we allow him to. Amen? If we allow him to. Amen. And a special welcome to all of you, especially those who are our first-time listeners. We are a Christian internet church and a local assembly, and we meet here on the internet every Wednesday evening and Friday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor for it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father of light, in who there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. Amen. God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for those of you who are new, we celebrate Holy Communion at the beginning of our service. Amen? And we want to thank the Lord for every opportunity we have to celebrate his victory on the cross of Calvary. It was a victory for us, a victory for each of us who have ever lived on the earth, those that are here now, those that are to come, and those that have been here and gone on. Amen?
Amen.
We want to thank the Lord because everything he went through was for us. It was for us. He had no sin. Sin has been ours. And everything he did it for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, humble ourselves before you. And we come to thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace toward the children of men. We ask you, Lord, to look upon our lives and those places where we have not obeyed you to forgive us.
Amen.
We ask you, Lord, for your mercy to cover all of our transgressions. We turn away, Lord, by an act of our will from every sin, every generational sin, every transgression that we or that our ancestors have ever committed, all the way back to Adam and Eve. And we ask you, Lord, to help us, to strengthen us where we're weak.
Yes.
Teach us the right way. Correct us when we go astray. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor for it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you glory. We give you honor for it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every wicked device of the devil. We bind everything that Satan has done to hinder us from being who we should be in Jesus Christ. We take authority, dominion, and power over that sin that so easily besets us and the weight that holds us back. We bind those things in Jesus' name. We bring them before you, Father, and we ask you, Lord, to deliver us from our own issues, from our own sin, from our own iniquity, from our own problems, sometimes even from our own selves. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much and you care so much that you will come and deliver us. You alone are our strong deliverer. And we give you praise, Lord, for what you'll do in our lives in Jesus' name. And from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the armor of God that you've given us, especially the helmet of salvation. It helps to keep our minds in order. In Jesus' name, it helps to keep our minds in order in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us to live victorious in this life. You've called us, Lord, to to pay attention to you and not to every circumstance that comes our way. You've called us, Lord, to focus on you. You've called us, Lord, to bring change by obeying the scriptures. We hear your call, and we choose to humble ourselves in obedience. You said you did not want sacrifice. You preferred obedience, Lord. So we come to offer to you obedience, complete obedience, not that half-hearted stuff that we've done before, but complete obedience, just as Jesus did. Jesus humbled himself even to the death of the cross. So, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, and we allow the work of the cross of Calvary to work in each of us. We thank you for accepting our offering. It is our reasonable service. And now, Lord, we come to celebrate what you have done. You alone. We owe you for what you've done for us. For there is no substitute for the blood of Jesus Christ. And without the blood of Jesus, without the shedding of your blood, there is no remission of our sin. No one else could have done this for us, Lord. It took sinless blood to wash away our sins, for we have become defiled. We thank you for the mercy, for the grace, for the wisdom, for the strength, for the power, for the submission, for the humility that it took for us. And we thank you for the power that raised you from the dead. Woo, it is our victory. We find our victory, Lord, in you. We thank you that you're not only here with us, but you live in us. You live in us to make us victorious in you. So we come, Lord, today. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan, the strong man, and all of his evil angels, all evil spirits, and all demonic agents, all of the underlings. We cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous in Jesus' name. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. It's not his territory. You've given it to us. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, with Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them, to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, reporting demons, watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiar demons, technology demons, Leviathan, Kundalini, water and marine spirits, sex devils, unclean spirits, passive devils, sorcery devils, seducing, womanizing, drone devils, whoredom spirits, all the voices of the stranger, hypnotic and trance devils, all mystic rituals and their intent and every attack in Jesus' name. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts, Egyptian magic, Chaldean magic, Hindu and Indian practices, African practices in Jesus' name. We bind all Morgellons attacks and return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal form, and shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in the American culture and in every culture. We bind hyperactivity, racing mind, inattention, impulsivity, and demon possessed in Jesus' name. We bind the power of the prince of the power of the air, and we return all his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog, every dog, in Jesus' name. We bind the Lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all formations of bull flies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders and their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits. We bind mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order and the New Age movement, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Jezebelic and Ahab practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, the spirit and the children of disobedience, psi, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, bio-PK, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral projection, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards in Jesus' name. We bind these demons in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every wicked spirit attacking the body of Christ in Jesus' name. We bind the king of pride in the name of Jesus. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, and soulish sacrifices, every single one, in the name of Jesus. We put it in a cage in the name of Jesus, and we send it to the feet of Jesus for judgment right now. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, all combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and temptation to sin. Everybody, deep breath and cough in Jesus' name. Cough those devils out in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody, everybody, deep breath and cough in the name of Jesus. Everything that came in the dreams last night, we bind it in Jesus' name. Come up and out of the people of God. Every single thing, come up and out. Out of the people of God in Jesus' name. Come out of God's people. Come out of God's people. Everything said in the dreams last night, we bind it in Jesus' name. We command it to come up and out of God's people. Come out of God's people. Come out of God's people in Jesus' name. Come out of God's people in Jesus' name. Come out of God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. Come up and out. Come up and out. Come up and out in Jesus' name. Come out of God's people in the name of Jesus. Come out of God's people. Come up and out in the name of Jesus Christ. Every devil that has attacked him since the last time we came together, we bind it in the name of Jesus. We command you to come up and out of God's people right now. Come out. Go into the cage to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We bind Baal, Beelzebub, Belial, Mammon, Apollyon, Zeus, Baphomet, Neptune, Python, Basilic, and Moloch in Jesus' name. We chain them with eternal chains unto darkness. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, and return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassment, and witchcraft back on the heads, as on their own heads, as well as on their mind control, and Jesus' name, according to 2 Thessalonians 1:6. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of the Lord says to the church. Father, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we have come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for all who are in authority and all true Christians everywhere. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise, glory, and honor. And we cut ourselves free from all evil soul ties, ungodly soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, every form of agreement with the demonic realm. We ask you seal and close every open door, Father, in the name of Jesus. We bind the works of every witch, warlock, wizard, Satanist, shaman, and sorcerer in Jesus' name. We bind all hexes, curses, vexes, spells, charms, and fetishes, all psychic power, psychic thoughts, psychic prayers, psychic warfare, psychic prayer chains in Jesus' name. We bind every form of psychic warfare known to a spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory for it, and we give you honor in Jesus' name. We command those spirits to come up and out now in Jesus' name. We command those spirits to come up and out now in the name of Jesus. Go into the cage to the feet of Jesus for judgment. Ruka, see that every potion, all bewitchments, all death spirits, all destruction, sickness, pain, and torment, incense and candle burning, incantations, chanting, crystals, root work, every form of witchcraft available, every pain, every sickness and every torment in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for all hypocrites everywhere that they will sincerely confess their grievous sins and repent in earnest before the Lord and be truthful with all those whom their sin has and is affecting in Jesus' name. We pray for Donald J. Trump to continue on the path that the Lord has set out for him, regardless of the hurdles, obstacles, and difficulties. We pray for all who have been sexually and or financially assaulted, that they would recover by the mercies of the Lord. We pray for all who are selected by the devil to be assaulted as children, that the Lord will protect them in his love. We pray for all who are reeling in the aftermath of shock and trauma that the Lord will stabilize them. Your grace, Father, for all true Christian pastors to be able to successfully complete their assignment in a manner that is pleasing to you. And let the church say amen. Amen. Now, if you will take your element. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread. also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We want to thank you for all that you've done. Amen. Every single thing. Things that we can see and things that we have never seen. You have provided for us, Father, beyond wildest expectations. You've provided for us even in spiritual and natural matters that we don't have any idea we need to be provided for. You're that good a God. You go exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And we thank you for your urgent and dear care for us, Father. In the name of Jesus, we want to thank you. I want to remind the church that we have a fast coming up this Wednesday.
Amen.
And for those of you who, for some reason, still don't know about it, I encourage you to scroll up in the MIC radio chat room located on our webpage. And our webpage is www.miracleinternetchurch.com. www.miracleinternetchurch.com. And for those of you that have never seen our webpage, you should take a look. You've been missing something in God's kingdom. It's a wonderful treat, and it's something that will help you as you grow in the body of Christ. I want to let you know that on this fast, God will be dealing with each of us, with our hypocrisies, with our immaturity, with our childishness. Amen? Look for him to do it. Expect it to happen. So don't pretend you don't understand what he's saying to you when he tells you certain things. Amen? He's dealing with each of us with our hypocrisy, whether it's sexual, whether it's financial, whether it's intellectual, whether it's emotional. Regardless, he's going to deal with all of our hypocrisy, each individual. And with our immaturity, he believes you should be behaving and believing at a certain level. And, of course, you're lagging behind, as we all do from time to time. He'll be dealing with that. He'll be dealing with childish attitudes, amen, that just don't represent him, because he wants us to be a living witness to people everywhere. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So, the Lord says to us today, give it to the Lord. Give it to him. Give it to the Lord. Well, what do you mean, Pastor, give it to the Lord? It means cast it, to throw away, to discard, to abandon, to throw off, to eject. Okay, so let's get rid of some things. Which things? Worries, cares, anxiety, trouble, drama, irritation, annoyances, vexation, harassment, uneasiness, distresses, nervousness, worry over insignificant detail. If I could have, would have, should have, burdens, yokes, experiences, the past, why are we still lugging that around? It's awfully heavy, you know. That which is bugging you. Questions for which you have no answer. He's saying to give it to him. And he means it, and he expects us to actually do it. Amen? He expects us to actually perform it. It's not just something to talk about on Sunday. It's something to do every single day. Amen? Every single day. Every day. In 1 Peter 5:7, the Lord tells us quite plainly, casting all of your care upon him. Casting. We just talked about what casting means. So we fully understand what it means to cast. It means we're going to throw it away. We're going to discard it. We're going to abandon it. We're going to throw it off. We're going to eject it. We're going to get rid of these things. We're not going to keep dragging them around from one year to the next, from one month to the next month, from one week to the next, and from one day to the next. We're going to once and for all get rid of it, aren't we, church? Amen. You may as well say amen louder because Jesus is serious about this. I believe this might be the third or fourth message in a row on this one subject, and he is determined to get his way. So you may as well make up your mind to yield, submit, and obey, because he will not quit until he gets his way.
Amen.
Amen. It's not going to be our way. It's not going to be your way. It's all going to be his way. Amen. Casting all. He didn't say part. He didn't say this one little thing over here. No, he said all. There's nothing that is left out of all. Nothing. And if you need him to say it this way, what part of all don't you understand? Amen? All your care. Whose care is it? That's the truth. It is yours. Why? Because you haven't cast it on him. That's why. Amen? And he explained in simple terminology why he wants you to do it. Now, we've talked about this in previous messages, all the different reasons that the Lord wants us to do it. He says because he cares for you. He did not say because it adds something to his crown. He did not say because it makes him feel great. He said because he loves us and cares for us personally, intimately. That he wants us to do this. It's out of his love, his mercy, that he does this for us. We should act like we understand what he's saying. You see, we have been listening to the Lord in these most recent messages on the matter of our errors in sin. In particular, worry and care. In 1 Peter 5:7, Jesus says to us to release our concerns to him. Amen? Yes, he says, give it to him. You know, Saint, there are times when we worry that we don't realize that we're actually worried. The scripture that talks about this is the one that says, give no thought to, and explains what comes after. Give no thought. Well, you know we violate that every day. We give thought after thought after thought. In fact, that's most of what our day is, thinking about what we haven't got fixed or straightened out or what we're going to do or what we should have done, or and on and on and on, and what happened and what's about to happen and what may happen. And we just roll with it. But he's serious. He has come to uproot this out of his people. So we can just get ready to stop holding on to it. He's very serious. He doesn't care what you think. You think, well, I'm just being concerned about Sister Barbara. That's not what he said. He said, cast Sister Barbara on him. So now why are you trying to lug her on your shoulders? I just have a prayer burden. Excuse me, he said, casting all your care upon him. Either we're going to obey him or we're going to keep this door open to the enemy to attack us. It's up to us. We have to choose. Either we want to have an open door to the devil, or we want to shut the door through obedience. I prefer closed doors to the devil. I don't know about you. I am progressively coming to believe that we don't successfully obey in this regard for several reasons. Among them is pride. Pride? Mm-hmm. Lord, I think that I can handle this. I'll go to him with the big thing. However, we sin in this way of belief because in John chapter 15, verse 5, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 5, Jesus says quite plainly, for without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. Amen? Amen? Without me. That means on your own, by yourself, trying to do it your way, in your strength, your power, your might. Now, you know you have watched that fail for you many times. In fact, you have watched it fail for you so many times that you should be thoroughly convinced that it will never work. Yet we get up and we keep trying it again and again and again. Someone said, I don't know that I agree, but someone said, to keep doing the exact same things over again and not getting the result, and you keep doing it the same way, and you just won't quit, that's a form of insanity. That's a form of insanity. See, God has given us a sound mind. Why would we open ourselves to insanity? Why? Why would we open ourselves to insanity? Amen. Why would we do that? Answer yourself. Jesus said plainly, for without me, you can do nothing. So which part of nothing did you not understand, he says. I think we have an idea, but Jesus is going further than just this idea in our head. See, we have an idea, and he's got one. And our idea doesn't line up with his idea. And he keeps trying to get us lined up with his idea. Amen? Amen. He's working. He's patient. Okay, for instance, you say, well, I've been cooking for years now. I know how to cook. why do I need Jesus to cook? Well, what he said is still the truth. And you'll never find out until you open your life experiences to new possibilities with the Lord. Until you open yourself to new possibilities with the Lord, you'll never find out what you're missing. The truth, if you're a woodworker, if you're a plumber, if you're an electrician, if you work with computers, if you play music, regardless, you say, well, there's 88 keys on the keyboard. They've all been played and there's nothing new. Well, the one who created music does not agree with you. Amen? Until you're willing to open yourself up to the Lord and let him show you new things and what you do not know, you're going to stay in that same old rut, the way you were taught to do it. Well, I'm a traditionalist. Well, the Lord has more and more and more and more. But if you want to stay in that little box you've been in all your life, you're going to be stuck there. For growth, you got to come out the box. Amen? All right. And besides, the Lord says that our presumption stinketh. Our presumption that we've got it down, we know what to do. We know you turn to the left and turn to the right and stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight. He says it stinketh. The next reason I think we miss it is unbelief. Unbelief. We just don't believe that Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit have any interest in the mundane, ordinary practices of our lives. We believe that that's our territory. But the scripture says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, that the very hairs of our head are all numbered. That the very hairs of our head are all numbered. If he took the time to number each one, surely he cares. Yes, he cares. Amen? You see, there may be many or fewer than before, but they're still all numbered. It's another reason. Some of you have never read Isaiah 53. That's right. Some of you have not read Isaiah 53. And some of you have. Some of you read it, but you didn't grasp Isaiah 53. Amen? You just didn't get it. You read it, sounded all right, but you didn't get it all. Amen? You just didn't get it all. So the Lord is going to let me read to you today what somebody wrote about Isaiah 53. It's their own opinion. It's their own words. But maybe it'll help you open your eyes when we read Isaiah 53. Amen? This person says that Jesus got beat up and bloodied, real bad, seriously. And nobody could hardly recognize him when it happened. Nonetheless, this process that the Father chose cleanses us from our sins and makes a provision for us. There aren't a lot of people that really believe this because it doesn't make sense to them. And he asked the question, who understands what God did? Who understands that God was showing his power in this? Because most people look at the cross of Calvary and they think defeat. But God said he's releasing his power. In God's eyes, Jesus was like he was sprouting up. You know, when you go in the yard and there's this new flower coming up, you can see the green parts just coming through the soil. He's like that. However, the soil around him was hard. It was no reason for a plant to come up through that kind of soil. That kind of soil just kills the plant. It doesn't offer any nourishment. So in our eyes, and in the eyes of the people that were here, when Jesus walked the earth, he just looked like an ordinary old dude to them. There wasn't anything about him that had glamour or pizzazz or charisma or any of that. He was so ordinary, he was just like a wall. That ordinary. We didn't understand what God was doing. So the people really, a lot of them didn't want to have anything to do with him, just like they are now. They didn't care for him at all. You know how it is. There's something about him I really don't like. You heard that before. That's how they felt. And they rejected him because he was different. You know how that works. And so Jesus went around being a man full of sorrow, and he fully understood bitter grief. So the people turned their backs on him and looked the other way when he went by. He looked like somebody they didn't necessarily want to associate themselves with. And they hated him, and they didn't care that they hated him. They treated some of us that way. But it was Jesus who bore our grief, and our sins weighed him down. We thought, they thought, and some people still think that he had to go to the cross because he did something wrong. No, he didn't. He was without sin. The sin was ours, not his. He was the one who was wounded and bruised and crushed for the things we've done and the things we've allowed in our lives. He did it so that we could have peace. This is what it took for us to get some peace, any kind of peace, his peace. He had to be wounded and bruised and beat and crushed. Crushed. Okay, this is how we call crushed. Crushed to smithereens. That's what it took. You see, peace wasn't free. It cost him everything. Had that cat of nine tails. Some of you heard about it and some of you hadn't. But they had big, thick, long, gory nails coming out the end of straps. And when they lashed him, it ripped the skin off his body. It ripped the flesh too, and the blood came running down. But it's that same process that allows us to be healed. That's how we get our healing. The healing in our spirits, the healing in our souls, the healings in our minds, the healings in our bodies. When they ripped the flesh off of him, that's how we got it. It wasn't free for him. It's his mercy that we're able to receive it. And God, our Father, laid every sin that has ever been committed, is being committed now, and will ever be committed on him. He took every single one. We were the ones who caused the problem, from Adam to us. He was the one who took the punishment, and it was brutal. We're the ones who keep leaving God's way to do our own way. But God put all of our guilt on Jesus. You see, Jesus went through this without saying a bad word. You know us, we would have been acting ugly, real ugly, if someone had falsely accused us of the slightest thing. But Jesus didn't. Just like a little animal goes with its caretaker to the vet, he didn't put up a fuss. He didn't start a riot. He didn't call for an assembly to picket. He just took it. He put himself in the hands of our Heavenly Father. He went through the suffering and death for us. He was even insulted on the cross. Reproached, took his clothes, and they cast lots. That means they were down there gambling at the foot of the cross. You see, but he was dying for them too. He'd done no wrong. He'd never said an evil word. But this was the Father's plan, to bruise him and to fill him with grief. And so he was made an offering for our sin, so that all of us might have the opportunity for eternal life. Jesus was the righteous servant of our Heavenly Father. So our Father honors him greatly because he poured out his soul unto death. He was considered the big sinner. He bore everybody's sin, and he pled with our Father concerning our sin. We should be ever so grateful, ever so grateful. You see, he had to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm or power of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness or beauty or attractiveness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, quite unlike us. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and have put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So you see, you heard about Jesus going to the cross. You read Isaiah 43. You didn't necessarily grasp Isaiah 53. However, his journey to Calvary has not fully taken hold of you. What you require is a personal revelation of what actually took place for you in order for you to be a Christian. Everybody's got to have that. Every single person has got to have that. What we need is for the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the real cost of our sins and the sins of the whole world. It has to become personal to each of us. We ought to ask the Lord for this because it is essential for our faith to develop and to grow. Let me read to you and let you read on your own since I've read it to you this morning. Read it on your own when you go home and ask the Lord to open it up to you. So you really get it, because without it, your faith will be crippled. You've got to understand how deep it went. You've got to understand what it really cost, or else you'll feel free to sin whenever you want and just say, oops, I'm sorry about that, Lord. But once you understand the price that he paid, you won't do that anymore. You just won't. You see, we all need to come to the light of understanding that losing our temper is not a small thing at all. Jesus had to die for this. Neither is worry a small thing, or nervousness a small thing, or fretting a small thing, or drama a small thing, or trying to figure it out by yourself a small thing, or lying a small thing. Jesus had to be beaten very, very badly and die on the cross for all these things. Instead of what we have been doing, some of us all of our lives is to guard our minds from worry, anxiety, and constant fretting. That's what we ought to be doing. Jesus loves us so much that he gave his life on Calvary so that we can live worry-free. We're supposed to be the ones living worldly free. We don't need yoga. What do we need yoga for? We're not supposed to be the ones that need yoga. We don't have to stand in some strange position and put our minds somewhere else, all that stuff. That's not for us. We got the real deal. Why sell for a substitute? Not to mention you're worshiping a demon when you do it. There is no such thing as Christian yoga.
Amen.
That doesn't exist. When you go into lotus position and all them other 900 positions they got, you are worshiping a deity that is not God Almighty. It's not just a body position and relaxation. It's a religion, body and meditation and other things. And it's sin. It's idolatry. Face it. You've given all of your allegiance to Jesus Christ. Why are you backing down now? Amen. It is so. Jesus loves us so much that he gave his life on Calvary so that we can live without stress. Let's not take his love for granted, church. Jesus said for us to be on our guard so that our hearts and minds will not become so overburdened with the worries and cares of this life until we are not prepared for his return. We must examine our lives according to God's opinion and not our own opinion to see if we have allowed our minds to be sidetracked by the daily pressures of providing the basic necessities of life for our families and for ourselves. Two bills, not having enough to provide for a serious need, worrying concerning your children, your grandchildren, your loved ones, or worrying about your own physical needs or problems on the job or with the neighbors or at school or in the classroom or in your relationship or lack of relationship. And the list, as you know, goes on and on and on and on. In fact, our lives are often not much more than a collection of dealings with first one thing, then another. Amen. Worry is not to be the normal reaction to the pressures and problems that we face. No worry is sin. That's what Jesus is saying. It's a sin. It is a sin. When we worry, we doubt God and his abilities. This is a sin. We act as though, just like the disciples did. We talked about that the other night when they were in the ship in the middle of a storm. What we end up saying to the Lord, our Savior, who died for us is, don't you care about me? Don't you see what is happening? Aren't you going to do something to save me? Now think about it. All that he's already done, are those fair questions? Is that fair? It is the Lord's desire, saints, for us to face every problem, circumstance, and attack of the enemy completely free from worry. That's what he wants. That's his claim. Hopefully we will decide to join him in that plan. Think about it. Jesus was in the boat asleep in the middle of the storm like we talked about. The boat's literally, this wasn't a little boat. This was actually a ship. And it was being tossed from side to side, and the waves were coming this way. It was everywhere, just everywhere, spray, water, boat. And these are commercial fishermen. These aren't your, I'm just rowing my little boat out here with my Everroot, and I'm going to put my my little fish thing out here, my little, what do you call them, rod, out here in the water that little stick with the string on it, you know, they make a big thing out of that with that little funny thing at the bottom supposed to attract the fish. No, that's not who these people were. These people did fishing for a living. They were commercial fishermen. They were not scared of water. But when these waves stood up and rolled, they were terrified. Amen. We need to think about this. You know, when you read the Bible, you got to think. Because the picture is being painted for you. You got to open your eyes and see it. And God expects us to go through this kind of thing with perfect peace. All that he went through was to give us this perfect peace. Even in the most trying circumstances, when Satan has done his best to destroy you, God says you can be free of worry. Mm-hmm. Well, the devil's plan is to keep us living in a cycle of defeat, full of fear, full of worry, full of doubt, full of unbelief, and our faith paralyzed, so that the word of God will not produce the fruit that God desires. And it's up to us, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to break this cycle of defeat by getting rid of all the worries that are tormenting our minds. That's why the Lord says to cast all of our care upon him, because he cares for us. Future plan for each of us. But worrying about it isn't going to bring it to pass. He didn't say cast one or two worries upon God. He said cast them all. If you have to do it one by one, well, do it one by one. I did that last night. I lay down and I couldn't go to sleep. And I said, Lord, this isn't normal. I normally fall off to sleep. And that's when I realized that I had actually become worried about something. So I laid back on my pillow and one by one, I gave each thing to the Holy Spirit. One by one. And I don't remember when I got to the end of the list because I fell asleep. You see, there's no reason to worry. God already has a solution. He always has a solution. He always is going to share it with me in due season, and you too. He's always going to take us through because that's what he does. It's uncomfortable. It's because it's working something good in us. It's uncomfortable because, you see, if there's no discomfort, you won't stretch to grow. You'll never know how long you can keep your mouth shut if nobody ever gets in your face and says things that make you mad. Amen? I know it doesn't feel good, but it is the truth. God knows exactly what the circumstances are that we are facing. He is in control. And with every circumstance that Satan brings into our lives comes a provision for victory. Yes, it's true. Well, Pastor, that sounds too simple. And I've tried to stop worrying before. And all my family members worry, and I can't do it. So how do I cast my worries upon the Lord? Well, first of all, you decide to do it. First of all, you make up in your mind and heart, I'm going to do this. I am going to trust the Lord. I am going to trust the Lord. I am going to trust the Lord. It starts inside of you. I'm not going to let the devil have my mind. God gave my mind to me. It's my mind. I'm not going to let him have my mind. and I'm going to do something to stop him. I'm going to do what the Bible says to do. Every time I get tempted to get upset, I'm going to say, thank you, Lord, you're good to me. Because the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Every time I get tempted with pressure, I'm going to burst forth with praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? This is my response to pressure. It's praise. Everything with prayer and thanksgiving and praise. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to scrunch up my face. No, I'm going to let the beauty of the Lord be seen upon me. I'm going to actually turn from my wicked ways and do what God has told me to do. I'm going to bind the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to bind every single thought. I'm going to cast down every imagination and every high thing that doesn't agree with what the Bible says about me. I'm going to trample it under my feet in Jesus' name. I'm going to send it to the feet of Jesus to be judged because it's just a demon lying to me. I'm going to give it to the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to be free of that thing. And I'm not going to get it again because I'm not going back to try to take it back. I'm going to be determined. And if I try and I mess up, I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to keep on practicing it till it becomes first nature to me. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to allow my heart to be troubled and upset and anxious and afraid and worried. I'm just not going to let it happen. I'm putting my foot down right here. I'm not going to let other people's drama upset me either because it's their drama, not mine. Amen? Before we can have Christ's perfect peace covering and protecting our minds, we must throw all our worries on him. This involves a conscious act of our will. Yes, you have to use your will to overcome. You see, as long as the disciples kept their eyes on the raging storm, instead of keeping them on Jesus, their minds were filled with fear, worry, and doubt. In order to cast all your worries upon God, you must take your eyes off the circumstances. Brother Marshall tried to sing it. The song goes, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Those are your eyes. You've got to decide where they're focused. It's up to you. Your body may be in constant pain. You may have problems you must face in your home and on the job every day. There may be times in your life when you are faced every day with the same problem. That doesn't mean you are to run and hide from them or ignore them, but it does mean that you are to take your eyes off the circumstances and place it on Jesus. The moment Satan attacks your mind and you begin to worry, you must recognize it That's important. You got to recognize it. And you must see it as Satan's strategy to defeat you. And you have the power to resist him in the name of Jesus Christ. You got it already. You don't have to go wandering all over the house looking for the power. It's in you. As an act of your will and obedience to God, you must cast out every fearful thought, every worry, every doubt that Satan tries to put into your mind. We must come to know that God has planned for our mind to be ruled with his peace, and we must refuse to allow one worried thought to enter our mind. Not one. No, not one. We must know that God loves and cares for us and has already made full provision to supply our needs. We must simply present our needs to him, not begging nor pleading, but with thanksgiving. That's the God that we serve. We must learn to ask in faith without doubt, believing that he will do exactly what he has promised he will do. As we do this, peace will cover our hearts and minds. We must choose to refuse to allow Satan to afflict and torment our minds through worry. We must refuse to allow him to make the word of God ineffective in our lives. We must learn to refuse to allow him to keep pushing us into living a cycle of defeat. We can stop this in the name of Jesus by casting all of our worries upon God. We must refuse to accept worry when God has given us his peace that will enable us to face whatever circumstances Satan may use to defeat us, and we must walk in total victory. Can the church say amen?
Amen?
Amen. This is what the Lord wants. He died for us to have it. Surely, if he died for us to have it, we are to walk in. Amen?
Amen.
If he laid down his precious holy life for us to have it, surely we ought to do what it takes to walk in it. Amen? All right. Stand for the benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. And the church said, amen,
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 and amen. God bless you. Review what we have to do for our fast on Wednesday. Go up to the MIC radio chat and see what else Pastor will post. Recast this message. And live in peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor loves you.
When I was just a child, I heard a beautiful story. How you loved me so much that you died.